Started.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Board of Directors meeting for Adeo Charter School Nonprofit Board, which operates Adeo 2 Charter School, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter School, Grossmont Secondary School, and Sweetwater Secondary School. I am Greg Haggard, Chairman of the Board. I will facilitate the meeting. Let's take the roll first. When I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction for the benefit of new members and members of the public. Tim Morton.
I'm Tim Morton. I'm CEO of Westland Financial Services and board member for Adeo Schools.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, Director of Leasing, Acquisitions, and Dispositions for the Gildred Companies, board member for Altus Schools as well.
All right. And Greg Haggard, as I've mentioned, proud board member now for how many years have I been here? It looks like 6 years. My. And CEO of the Gildred Companies. Mary, could I ask you to introduce the staff?
Okay, I see Tim Tudor, Executive Director, is on board. Jackie Robertson, Chief of Staff. Lynn Alipio, CBO. Will Berry, Administrator, Finance. And I've got a whole list of wonderful teachers. Angela, and there's Alina Nuno, who is Assistant to the Chief of Staff. And Angela Neary, my assistant to the Office of the President. Angela, can you read out the names of the teachers? There's a lot of teachers on board.
Yes, from Grossmont Secondary, we El Cajon Resource Center, Ivy Kohler, La Mesa, Amy Hagen, Paradise Valley, Kathy Macias, Otay Ranch from Sweetwater Secondary School, Jennifer Carmack, Plaza Bonita, Amy Avant, Somerset, Chula Vista, Charlene Kelly, Adeo 2 Resource Center, North Carlsbad, Dylan Ramirez, South Carlsbad, Paul Backus, and Adeo 3 Resource Center, Escondido, Jasmine Gonium, excuse me for, I know I just mispronounced that, sorry. And that's all.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. We really like having people participate in these meetings. It's really helpful. Really want to 1.3, want to establish a quorum. Do I have a motion for approval of 1.3?
Motion to approve. Tim Morton.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. So we'll be voting on that. And I'm going to call, I have to call your name because it's a Zoom meeting. So Tim Morton.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard's aye. That passes unanimously. So the Pledge of Allegiance, I have. Angela's going to put a flag up. I happen to have brought my own flag. Very proud of that. Here we go. Ready? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Not exactly in sync, but we were there in spirit. Appreciate that. So we have an agenda before us, item 1.5, to have a motion for approval of the agenda.
Tim Morton approves agenda 1.5.
Laura Barrero, second.
Thank you. We'll be voting again. Tim Morton, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So 2.0 public comment is broken into two pieces. I'm going to explain 2.1, the non-agenda public comment, which is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes, unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to move to 2.2, which is a public comment for items that are on the agenda. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. And this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Thank you, hearing none. I'm going to move along to 3.0 administrative items. So the first is 3.1, discuss, consider approval of the Board of Directors evaluations. Now, every 2 years, members of the Board of Directors are asked to evaluate themselves as to their efficacy as a governing board member. This item is intended to review the evaluation form, to answer any questions of board members, and to ensure that each board member reviews the form, completes it, and takes careful consideration into self-reporting. As the chairperson of the board, it's my observation that all board members do exceed expectations, but the self-reporting process is an important element in ensuring transparent governance with a continued eye towards growth as an organization and to ensure that we are achieving the mission, vision, and core competency of the organization. So as chairman of the board, I bear the responsibility of collecting and signing all the forms once they are completed. Do I have a motion for approval of item 3.1?
Motion to approve 3.1, Tim Morton.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. I've called for the vote. Tim Morton.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. So that passes unanimously. We're on to 3.2, consider approval.
We'll get our evaluations in. When do they do? I forget when they're due.
I don't recall the due date, but I'm standing by today if you want to send it in.
I have mine completed.
Okay. As do I. And Laura, you've got yours? Okay. Yeah, if we can take care of that today, that would be fantastic. Item 3.2, consider approval of board member Greg Haggard, term 2, July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2027. That is me. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 3.2?
I recommend approval. I recommend approval. And for your time and commitment.
Okay, so.
Tim Morton making a motion to approve 3.2.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. So I will entertain the votes now. So Tim Morton?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrera?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye, happily. So that passes unanimously.
I think you have to abstain, Greg.
Oh, of course I do. But I just want you to know that I'm very happy about it.
That's terrific. And I want you to know that we're very grateful because we realize that there's a big learning curve. There's a lot of business attached to a charter school, and it takes quite a while to really get the hang of some of the documents that are recurring every year, consolidated applications, lots LCAP, lots of things, and to become acquainted with our language. So we're very grateful that you have served a term and are willing to continue. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I apologize. I got so excited I voted for myself, which, really bad habit. So let's let the record reflect that Greg Haggard abstained. So it's 2-1 abstention. Okay. Thank you. And that goes for Laura and Tim too. It is a lot. It's a time commitment, but we feel like we're doing, this is about the best thing. I feel better about this than just about anything else I do. That's what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
I feel really good about the commitment. It doesn't seem like I'm going to go off on a whole tangent. We're just really happy to be supporting in any way that I can. So thank you. So 3.3, consider approval of board member Tim Morton for term 2, July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2027. Mary?
Our highest recommendation. We are very grateful to have people on our board members that are board members of the caliber. You add a great deal to the mix, all of you, and each with different skills and talents. And so thank you so much for agreeing, Tim, to continue. And be sure to abstain from your vote.
I will. So Laura, I'd look for a motion.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve Board Member Tim Morton's second term, July 1, 2021 through June 30, 2027.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. And Laura, I'll call for your vote.
Laura Barrero, aye.
Greg Haggard, aye. And Tim Morton.
Tim Morton abstain.
Thank you. Thanks for getting it right, showing me how I'm supposed to do it. So we're at 3.4, which is consider approval of the 2021 to 2023 board meeting schedules, which is, these are all Wednesdays, October 20th, 2021, February 16th, 2022, and June 22nd, 2022. Mary, is there anything you wanted to comment on that?
No, other than, you know, that fits our pattern. And I may have a problem with October 20th in terms of being able to dial in, but it doesn't matter. Lynn and Tim have, you know, full authority and knowledge to be able to support the board at that board meeting if I can't make it in. So those days would be fine. And if any issues come up between now and then, of course, we can always adjust them, but that's the plan.
Thank you. Then I would entertain a motion for approval of the calendar.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion to approve item 3.4.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. And then Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimous. So 3.5, we're getting into the meat of the matter today. So 3.5 is consider approval of the annual audit multi-year contract amendment. Mary, would you talk to us? Lynn or Mary, would you talk to us about that?
Yes.
A little bit?
Lynn, go.
Yeah. If you recall, the board has approved already the multi-year contract for the auditors for the existing charter schools that the Odeo Corporation, namely the Odeo 2, the Odeo 3, the Grossman Secondary School, and the Sweetwater Secondary School. We recently have another charter school under the Odeo Corporation, which is the Odeo Valley Charter School. So we are amending the contract that has been approved by the board to include Odeo Valley Charter School, and the cost is similar to what the other schools are incurring for the audit.
Thank you. Anything else on that, Mary?
No, other than that does add another charter school, which I guess we'll talk about more at the update. It's how could I put it? A whole segment of new work, because it has to be separate from its previous affiliation. So this is just part of it, is having its own audit. And that's very important. You know, our audits are deep and thorough, but we never planned on having this many schools. It certainly is a challenge, but that has to go along with our work at always staying compliant with the law. So that's why the school's added. That's why the contract is extended. I know that's kind of redundant for those of you that already know that, but I thought I'd cover it anyway. So I do recommend approval.
Thank you. So I'd look for a motion on 3.5.
Tim Morton, approval for 3.5.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. And Tim Morton, your vote?
Tim Morton is aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That's unanimous. So 3.6, approval of the 2021-2022 pupil attendance calendar. Lynn, would you?
Yes. Lynn, go ahead.
Okay. So the pupil calendar is comprised of what is required, the minimum required instructional days for charter school, which is 175 days. When we developed and designed the pupil calendar, all instructional days are identified and are trended to correlate to the ADA days that are productive. The pupil calendar also works in tandem with the teacher calendar days, wherein the contract-based days for teachers are 228. note that historically, and I'm going to go into the June 10th, the newly approved federal holidays, that holiday is not included in this people calendar that you're approving, because the calendar, we developed that about April or May. As I have said, it worked in tandems with the teacher calendar day, so we are prepared for contracting teachers. But note also that there are two federal holidays that the school does not observe, which is your Columbus Day and the Cesar Chavez Day. So we will go back to the board and amend so that we can include the Juneteenth holiday, but we have to analyze the calendar days to make sure that we have 175 days teaching days, as well as we have 228 contract-based days for teacher. So those are to be considered when we redesign the amended calendar. But we would like for the board to approve this based upon we are going to go back to develop a pupil calendar and come back to the board to approve the Juneteenth holiday.
Okay.
Recommend approval.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 3.6 pupil calendar.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So we're 3.7, report on governance parental representatives posting. Lynn, please.
This is an update to the board that, as you know, we have a board policy and we publicize the governance parental representative in the board. We publicize it by 90 days. It starts in January and it ends in April. But to this date, we did not have any parents that are interested to apply. And we follow and observed the timelines because there's a board policy. So you have an opening date and you have an ending date for the publication of the parental the governance parental representative. So it is just an information to the board that we do not have any parent that we will bring forward to you for approval.
We'd like to remind the board that we did have a parent representative, but this has been a very difficult year on parents everywhere. So I'm not surprised that, there's not a lot of parents stepping up during this last year. And even now, it's extremely unsettled out there. But we are doing our due diligence, and we do consider that one of our priorities. So this is just an FYI item. We just wanted to keep you abreast.
Thank you. Yes, our last parent representative son graduated and she graduated. So it worked out great for us.
That's good. Right.
3.8, the president's report.
Okay. Let's see. Well, either Tim or Lynn, either one of you can report on that one. 3.8.1, the Audeo Charter School annual site visit.
Lynn, why don't you
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Last fall, we were visited by the Department of Education as they are the oversight authority for Audeo 2, Grossmont, and Sweetwater. We did a combined site visit with stakeholder interviews of teachers, board members, office staff, parents, as their usual annual site visit. They do compliance checks on all different departments, finances, HR, operations, the different immunizations that student services. And after their review of our schools, we received letters of full compliance for all three schools from the Department of Education. Since that time, Audeo Charter School was unanimously renewed by the State Board of Education for another 5-year term back in May, which is great news. And the new law now requires any state board approved charter, the oversight will now go to either the local school district or the county office of education. So Adeo 2, as of July 1, will be over the oversight of the San Diego County Office of Education. We just had a meeting with them on Monday, just to introduce ourselves and to work on developing the new relationship. And they sent us the MOU for our review on the relationship moving forward. So the visit ended up in full compliance. It also was part of the renewal for Adeo Charter School too. And we remain in good standing with the authorizers for those schools.
Right. They have been very positive and supportive and openness to Adeo 2, which is delightful, just delightful.
Well, thank you for that and congratulations for the great report card that you get. So 3.9, the strategic planning update. Tim, did you want to report on that, please?
So in your board packets, you have the school participation reports from January 11th through April 30th for all four currently operational Adeo Corporation schools. Currently, all four schools are exceeding the LCAP benchmark of 84%, where Adeo 2 is at 88.6%, Adeo 3 is at 86.6%, Grossmont's at 86.9%, and Sweetwater is at 87.6%. So all four schools are doing well in terms of school participation, which in independent study in California equals student attendance. So, but the reports are there in detail for you as well.
Thank you. Very impressive. I know that is a big and important number for us. So well done on that. Mary, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, thank you.
Thank you. So moving on, we're on the consent agenda 4.0. Now, I feel a little guilty. We fly over some of these topics, or like we just did. There's just so much work that went into what I just feel like I need to stop and recognize staff, because there's so much work that goes into that. And we fly over it like it's just another walk in the park, but it really is extraordinary. So well done. So 4.0, consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved and acted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion on these items prior to the board voting on them. The president recommends approval of all consent agenda items. So in 4.1, I'm looking to have a motion for approval of the consent items 4.1.1 to 4.1.5.5.4. So is everything there in the 4.1?
Tim, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. That passes unanimous. Again, there's so much work in there. Thank you.
Okay.
5.0, action items. So Tim, did you have a report for us on these items?
I do. I'm going to share a presentation with you on the new 21-22 LCAP and then the dashboard local indicators. So give me 1 minute and I will pull that up. All right. Can you just confirm you can see this, the PowerPoint?
I do.
Okay. So we have the new template and we've been developing this year the new 21-22 LCAP. And as part of this report, I also will give you information on the California dashboard local indicators for our schools under the Adeo Nonprofit Corporation. As a reminder, the Local Control Accountability Plan, or LCAP, is a tool for schools to use to set goals, action plans, and use resources to help improve student outcomes. This is a three-year plan, and so within the documents that you have, we've described the goals and the actions and services and align it to our budget that are going to support student outcomes and that address the state and local priorities. This is the opportunity for our school to share the stories of the how, what, and why our programs and services are used and selected to meet the needs of our students and our stakeholders. As you recall, last year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the LCAP was paused, and instead schools were required to adopt a learning continuity and attendance plan and also the COVID-19 operations written report, essentially adjusting to the pandemic and how we were going to provide distance learning to students, keep everybody safe during, you know, the height of COVID, and just operationally how we were going to give supplies, computers, technology to students and staff to make it work while we were off-site working from our homes. In the May meeting last month, you did receive an update that was required of us from the 1920 LCAP, but essentially there was no 2021 LCAP because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but now the state is moving back into the annual cycle. So I'll give you just the information of what is in this new revised LCAP. The different components of the 21-22 LCAP are, we have a budget overview for parents. That just gives just kind of a short summary in terms of how the money is spent and for what items. There's the annual update from the 1920 LCAP. There is a summary that's included just to give highlights in terms of what is in the LCAP. We've had over 30 stakeholder input opportunities. The board meetings are one of those examples for people to give input into the development of the new LCAP. And then we have the specific goals and actions that we will implement with this new LCAP. And then under those goals and actions, you need to show separate increased or improved services for three groups: English learners, and we'll refer to them in the presentation as ELs, low income, we'll refer to them as LI, and foster youth, we'll refer to those as FY, are the requirements. Homeless students kind of fall under foster youth and low income in terms of services we provide. And then there's also expenditure tables. So again, additional alignment to the budget and instructions on how the LCAP is actually completed. So it is several pages and it is in your board packet, and we do put this on our website as well. So to go in depth a little bit, we have the five LPAC goals that encompass the plan. The first one is around academic achievement, and we keep that achievement specific to what good outcomes would mean for a DOS school, the Dashboard Alternative School Status, the unique student population we serve. Goal two really focuses on a broad and rigorous course of study aligning to the state standards and accessible to everyone. Goal three is providing a professional learning system. We often refer to it as Altus University, but it's very targeted and data driven, and the goal is to increase teacher effectiveness. The fourth goal is to provide a safe environment and a supportive culture for our stakeholders. And then the last goal is about resource centers. You know, we have a unique design and we want to make sure they're innovative, engaging, and community based for our students and our families. And so I'll go through the specifics of each goal and tell you how we serve all students with this goal, and then those three groups: English learners, low income, and foster youth. So looking at the specifics of the goal one, academic achievement, some of the key actions and services that are for all students are, we offer a very comprehensive assessment system. We partner with Northwest Evaluation Association's MAP testing, where we test students in reading, language usage, and math in the fall, and then again in the spring. We participate in the Smarter Balance Assessment directed by the state. And we also have an Illuminate technology that takes all of our assessment data and additional things like end-of-course exams from from students that take those at the end of their courses. And so our teachers have access to a variety of data points to help inform their instruction. All students are offered a Pathways Personalized Education Plan. Oftentimes we refer to that as a PPEP, where, you know, their schedules are created, their course sequences are created, interventions and supports are put into place depending on what that plan is. And it aligns to their post-secondary goals, you know, for university, community college, military, workforce, vocational training, those types of items. And then we also offer a multi-tiered system of support, meaning that students are placed in different areas of support depending on what the needs are. If someone's struggling, they might be sent to a level 3 with, you know, very intense interventions. And if everyone's moving forward, you know, if a student's moving forward without much needed of additional support, they would be in, you know, a level 1. So all students receive those services. But specifically what we do in goal 1 for English learners, low income and foster youth are, we have a department called the English Learner Achievement Department, ELAD, and that department develops resources and strategies that can be implemented for any English learner in any of our locations or any of our schools that teachers can use to engage their English learners. We also have an equity and inclusion program that helps to oversee our nutrition program, our homeless foster youth supports. The health department falls under this department. We were looking at instructional strategies for different ethnic groups that can best meet their needs. And under that program, we also have a teacher on special assignment. That's one of the main resources to that equity and inclusion program, helping to facilitate supports for those students. We do partner with outside organizations that do provide additional math and English tutoring for students that fall within these categories. And we also offer administrative support for students and coaching of teachers as well. If we look at goal 2, a broad and rigorous course of study, for all students, we offer a blended learning model. They can come in the resource center, they can take courses, their coursework online, they can have it textbook based, and all of our courses that are eligible are approved by the University of California on their A to G course list. We have a comprehensive English language design program that all students have access to. We have accelerated coursework, honors, and advanced placement courses for students to take. We have several career technical education pathways. So if a student wants to be in hospitality or the medical field or public safety, they have different coursework they can take to help them plan for a career in those pathways. We have a comprehensive early college credit program where they can take community college courses while enrolled with us to get college credits. And everyone also has the ability to participate in our work experience education program if they want to work and have a job while attending school and receive credit for that. Specifically for English learners, low income and foster youth, we do have our Altus Connect program where we provide Chromebooks and hotspots for students in need so they can continue on with their coursework away from the resource center. Also, we do have some programs, Achieve 3000 and BrainPop ESL, which help support our English learner development and that teachers can implement to support those students. And we do partner with Edgenuity, which provides online curriculum, and specifically one of their programs is MyPath, which has coursework to help build additional supports for students, competencies, and help them recover credits. So those are some of the actions and services for goal 2. If we look at the goal 3, our professional learning system, key actions and services for all students, Altus University. The last year and a half, we've called it Altus University in the Cloud, because just like this meeting today, we do all our professional development currently through Microsoft Teams, and that allows our staff to really get the expertise and the knowledge they need to be effective with our students. So all teachers have access to that to support all students. We have for several years been working on getting all of our teachers Leading Edge certified by the County Office of Education so that they can be experts in terms of online instruction and online engagement. We do offer executive studies, so folks that are interested in leadership development can attend different sessions around leadership, and a lot of professional development around those career technical education programs that we do offer. And it is our goal, we've worked for the last several years to have all of our staff youth mental health first aid certified so that they can help work with students and give guidance in terms of if there are mental health issues for some of our students. When we look at the targeted actions and services for English learners, low-income and foster youth, we do partner with the Wright Institute, which is Writing Redesign for Innovative Teaching and Equity. And that provides additional guidance for our staff in terms of the writing process and supports for English learners. Again, the ELAD department provides a tremendous amount of professional development to our staff, specific for English learners. We offer trauma-informed practices for schools, or they call it the TIPS. So when we're dealing with a student that has trauma in their life, we know how to handle those situations. We also offer advancement via individual determination, or AVID, so strategies to help students be successful now and in the future. And then we have a math specialist that also is providing professional development for our staff. And in the future, we may be adding a learning lead as the schools grow as well for the Audeo schools. Goal four, safe environment, supportive culture. Some of the things that we offer all students, we have an executive safety committee that handles safety issues across all schools and all locations. For example, one of our recent additions there is we recently put in the lock system for the front doors so that no one can just walk in and open the door. Teachers have buzzers at their desks to make sure that they can allow only the folks that need to be coming into the resource center access to inside. Within the safety committee is responsible for the school safety plans. We have a very comprehensive plan that covers all the drills and emergency types of situations, supplies that we offer. So that's ongoing and approved by the board for the schools have their own plan, and then it's approved annually, usually in February. Each resource center has a safety ambassador that helps to facilitate the safety at their locations. And so as part of the work of the executive safety committee, we do professional development and trainings on how to provide guidance to the safety ambassadors. And then they take that information back to distribute that to their resource centers. We are developing a healthy youth department where we are looking at hiring two mental health professionals that will come on and provide the mental health counseling and supports to individual students under the Equity and Inclusion Department. And then our Cadet Corps program, which is a character and leadership development program, is available to any of the students that want to participate in learning the different skills that that program provides. When we look at specific actions for English learners, low-income and foster youth, we do provide a tremendous amount of mental health support. We have a resilience in student education, or we call it a RISE, where we have a series of sessions where students can come and listen to how to be successful in life, how to handle, situations that they may encounter, and how to grow and just be a contributing citizen to society. And we have a meal and nutrition program at all of our sites to provide nutritious snacks and items. We have a partnership with the food bank as well that can get students access to food as needed. And then our last goal, the goal five, which is about innovative, engaging resource centers, kind of the design of our structure and serving the communities that we are located in. We offer for all students a variety of activities that take place at each resource center. Some examples would be open houses, College and Career Week, bring in guest speakers, and just give them a bunch of information around post-secondary, and then senior exit nights. We have a family learning series that provides students and parents opportunity to listen in on different college, how to get scholarships, how to move on to the four universities. So just a variety of topics that parents can participate in. Our resource centers are rich with technology for all students to have access to, so they can be engaged now and then use the information of technology in future jobs or you know, post-secondary schooling. And then we have a pretty robust online tech tool library that our teachers have developed and our technology department has developed over the last several years, where there's a variety of resources to help students with their coursework while they're with us. And then when we look at some of those targeted action services for those specific groups, again, the English Learner Advisory Committee is interactive. It has students and parents and staff members involved in providing support to our English learners. And for any student that can't get to a resource center due to transportation issues, they are provided a bus pass free of charge to them so they can get to where they need to go. So those are the highlights of the five LCAP goals that we have and the actions and services that we provide. Again, it's important that the requirement is to pull out those targeted actions for English learners, low income, and foster youth. And then what we'll do is we'll continue to monitor its effectiveness. We analyze the goals annually for 3 years and report out on the measures and the reports annually for 3 years. We'll continue to engage our stakeholders, teachers being a big part of this work. A lot of the ideas on the action services come from them. So I know there's quite a few teachers online right now. And so we just appreciate that participation and those ideas. And then we align it to our budget. So it's not something that we can't implement. We know we have the resource to ensure that this takes place. So that's the summary of the LCAP. As part of this, when you approve the LCAP, the state this year is also requiring that schools report out on their local indicators, which is part of the dashboard. Like the LCAP, the dashboard was put on hold because a lot of the state assessments were canceled last year because of the pandemic. And so they didn't feel it was necessarily fair to give scoring on schools when there wasn't a lot of data to pull. So the California dashboard encompasses data that the state collects, whether it be assessment data, graduation rates, chronic absenteeism rates, and they have a system called CalPADS, which is their student information system, that they collect that data and then they publish it to the public through their dashboard. Schools, if you recall a few years ago, were also required to come up with some local indicators that demonstrated success by showing other ways in which we're meeting the priorities of the state using the local control funding formula or the revenue we receive from the state to run our schools. And so this year, while we developed the LCAP, we're also looking at our local indicators, reporting that out. That this is important. It is important that this is on a non-consent item. That's why this is the item that's placed on this agenda today at a regularly scheduled public meeting. And then we've used the State Board of Education's adopted self-reflection tool to see how we're doing on the local indicators that we chose previously. And then we'll report out on this today and then publicly through a report on the dashboard, which will most likely be in November. The local indicators that we have look at some of the different priority areas the state has set: academic performance, academic engagement, and conditions and climates. And I'll go through where we're at with our local indicators here. The first one is, it's important that our curriculum aligns to standards. And there's a lot of different standards out there that the state has for schools to meet. And it's important that our curriculum departments, and they've worked very hard over the last several years to achieve this. In previous presentations, you may have seen this as a percentage less than 100, working towards 100. But now all of our coursework is aligned to the Common Core standards, the Next Generation Science standards, the English Language Development standards, and the Career Technical Education Model Curriculum standards. And that's for all of our schools that are currently operational under Audeo Nonprofit Corporation. And you'll see Audeo Valley is in A because the school will become operational July 1st. The good news is that we work together, all of our schools, on the curriculum, so they'll be at 100% in the beginning of the new year. The second local indicator is implementation of academic standards, and that's around professional development. And it is our goal that all teachers would have at least 60 hours of professional development. And our professional development is really targeted around the needs of what our data is telling us and how we can improve student outcomes. So right now, all of our schools are at 100%, with exception to Grossmont, which I think we have one teacher that will be nearing 60 hours very soon as we close out the year. And then we ask the teachers that take the training and the staff that takes, is this relevant? Does this help you do better in your role and in your job? And you can see that our scores are anywhere from 93 to 98% relevancy on the professional development topics that we're offering our staff. So those are good scores. The next indicator is a broad course of study. And how do we achieve that? Well, we want to make sure that all of our students have access to everything with the coursework that we provide. And so we don't track students in a particular CT pathway or because of ethnicity or gender or anything. It's really available. We publish our course offerings on our websites, in handbooks, during PPEP sessions, and just ongoing dialogue with our students. So our students have 100% access to everything. We do offer 7 career technical education pathways, which is a good amount for the size of our schools. And we do have, we're seeing an increase in terms of the number of advanced placement or AP courses students are taking. And Audeo 3 is our smallest school. It's just about 120 kids, 3 up to Audeo 2, which has about 57 courses being offered to students. So we're seeing an increase there, which is good. Another local indicator that's important is that are, you know, looking at teachers, instructional materials, and facilities. And so 100% of our teachers are fully credentialed. Currently, the Audeo schools do not have any misassignments of teaching English learners. And all students, there's no one that doesn't have access to any of the materials that they need. And all of our resource centers and locations are what they call the good repair standard. So our facilities are in excellent condition. And then when we look at conditions and climate, parent and family engagement, it's important that we have systems in place to do these types of things, especially during COVID as well. We didn't want to cut back on anything, so we didn't. We have ongoing staff meetings. We have a full ongoing school site council and English Learner Advisory Committee that incorporates, that includes parents and students as well as staff. We've still had a number of school events to engage our families in, and we have over 100 community-based partnerships that can support the needs of our students and families. So we have full implementation for all of our schools in regards to all these parent and family engagement systems. And then the last local indicator is we're required to do a local climate survey. So we, as part of the development for the local control accountability plan, we do survey our students and parents on both their overall satisfaction and their satisfaction regarding safety. And you can see in the results, we're always above 90%, nearing 100% in some of our schools for their overall satisfaction with their experience, and then specifically looking at safety. So those are important indicators to tell us if we're doing well or not. So next steps for the local indicator, we'll continue to monitor those results and then publish them when the new dashboard comes out in November, and be able to communicate those to you again at that time. So that concludes my presentation in terms of the new LCAP for the 21-22 school year, the components that are included in it, and the results of the local indicators that will be part of the local school dashboard. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Excellent job.
Yeah, no questions. Well done. That's a gigantic amount of very thoughtfully crafted work. And as always, the follow-up to do on it, and you're continuing to assess whether we're on the right track, and you are. Really, really well done. Mary, do you have anything you wanted to add to that? Any comments? You're on mute. And you're still on mute.
I have several comments about all the reports at today's meeting, and there's still some other reports coming in. I'll comment at the end. That's all right.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, board members, I'd look for a motion to approve item 5.1.
This is Tim Morton. I approve or make a motion to approve 5.1, the LCAP and dashboard and local indicator reports.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. So I'll call for the vote. Tim Morton.
Tim Morton is aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.2, action items for Odeo Charter School 2, consider approval of the second interim report, fiscal year 2020-2021. Lynn, is there a staff report for this item?
Not a long one. Just to remind and inform the board that this is the actual expenditures for the school from July 1 through January. And in this report, we compare the actuals to the budgeted, and you can make an assessment as to the positive operation of the school, which authorizers take a look at that.
Thank you. Mary, do you have a recommendation on this item?
Recommend approval.
Very good. I'm looking for a motion then.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion that we approve action item 5.2.1.
Tim Morton, second.
Okay. Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. That passes unanimously. 5.2.2, review and discuss the May revised operational budget assumptions, fiscal year 2020 to 2021, and consider approval of the May revised operational budget assumptions for the same. So Lynn, would you report on that, please?
Thank you, sir. First of all, I'm sure the board is aware, when you receive the board packet, that the assumptions for any of the operational budget that we developed, it tells you a story on how the budget was designed and developed. These assumptions give you the languages wherein how independent study program like us are being funded, and how do we get apportionment credit, what are the components of our revenue, which mainly includes your local control funding formula. And we give you the components as to the second layer of that LCFF, which is your supplemental grant, concentration grant. Also in this report, we took the time to tell our story as to what is the COVID-19 impact to the school. We also give you information as to where do we get our funding rates. This is really based upon the School Services of California. We use the LCFF calculator and the dartboard. In these assumptions also, you can tell the basis of the revenue projection for every grade level and how much is the funding raise for every grade level. We also narrate in the assumptions the EPA, the Educational Protection Fund, the lottery funds, the various federal funds that the school is receiving. And we also note the full-time equivalent for the faculty. And when we make an assessment as to what would be the budget for the full-time equivalent of what we refer to as FTE, we put a close attention on the mandated ADA teacher ratio, which is the ADA teacher ratio for a program such as is 21:1. We also pay attention, put a closer eye on the special education caseload ratio, which is mandated. And the special education caseload ratio is for every 28 students, there should be one special ed teacher. You also get a table for what are the different benefits that we factored into the calculation of the budget, such as your retirement contributions, the health and welfare. We also note the consulting services, that the board, we are very transparent. You can see how the consulting services are budgeted. We also provide you the marketing budgets, as well as the district oversight and the reserves for that particular school. We provide you the information as to what is the contractual lease obligation for facilities for that particular year. So I want to express this to the board that that is how the budget is developed, and I will go into the details for every school, not details, just the ADA protection, ADA revenue projection. So for a day or two on the May revised budget, this is based upon the 297.94 ADA, and we also budgeted 27.11 full-time equivalent. There is a 5% reserved on this budget. We also factored the one-time special funding that has been received by the school, which comprised of the ESSER funds, the ESSER II, the CARES Act Learning Loss Mitigation, and you've heard this because we have to ask the board to approve the plan, the General Fund Learning Loss Mitigation Fund, the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, the Special Ed Mental Level 1 funding, and that amounts to $373,395. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes, that was very thorough. And I would point out that the board packet was 856 pages. So thank you for that. So Mary, anything to add to that?
I would just like to add that we don't try to make it 800 and whatever you said. We really don't. But in the interest of transparency, we try to put everything out there so you can delve as deeply as you want in any aspect and ask any question. I'd also like to emphasize that, you know, we're talking about finance right at this moment, but even within finance, there's a tremendous amount of input across the board, because the finance and the planning is derived from the input received into what the instructional program needs to be. You know, so if teachers are saying, oh, we need bus passes, or oh, we need, you know, whatever, we need more Chromebooks or whatever, or more training in this specific area, it all filters down so that we can make those fiscal decisions that can help us directly support the instructional program. So it's narrow and it's broad. The people that develop these reports or coordinate the guidance in developing them, they're very technical. I know they're very technical, but they are still at once broad-based, because there's a lot of input that goes into the sausage that comes out at the other end. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of technical expertise applied at many levels. So kudos to everyone that has anything to do with any aspect of the school, because it's not only what gives us the data to see where we've been, it gives us the data to forecast where we think we're going to go and what we need to do. That's all.
Thank you. I appreciate both of your comments on that. And yes, I was just teasing you a little bit about the material, but we do appreciate having that, and it is very informative. Thank you. So I'd be looking for a motion on 5.2.2.
This is Tim Morton, and I do appreciate all the work that's been done in the budget, because being a finance guy, I can really see the detail in there. Motion to approve 5.2.2 for the revised budget.
Laura Barrero, I second.
And Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton is aye.
Laura?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So similarly, 5.2.3, Lynn?
Thank you, sir. So the Day 2 preliminary operational budget is based upon an T2ADA of 302.66. We incorporated 5% reserved on this budget. The full-time equivalent staffed that is budgeted is 24.30. And as we have indicated on the assumptions, the different funding sources are your state revenue, your federal revenue, your local revenue. State revenue comprised of about 91% of the total funding. Federal revenue is comprised of 8% funding. Local revenue is about 1%. This preliminary operational budget, we have included a one-time special funding, and it is really a total of $279,363. And thank you, sir.
Thank you. So I'd entertain a motion on that item.
Tim Morton, motion approved 5.2.3.
Laura Barrero, I second that.
Tim Morton, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard's aye. That passed unanimously. 5.2.4, consider approval of the 2021-22 Education Protection Account Resolution Expenditure Plan. Lynn, would you report out on that, please?
Yes. As indicated in the budget assumptions, we noted the explanation for the Educational Protection Account Fund. And in order for this fund to be received and spent, the board must approve a board resolution. And in the resolution, you have seen the different citation about the legislative history for this fund. And the plan is to spend it on teacher salaries and benefits. And the amount of the EPA fund for Odeo 2 is $60,532, as indicated in the expenditure plan, which is included in your board packet.
Thank you. Mary, anything else you want to mention on that?
No.
Thank you. So I'd entertain a motion to approve 5.2.4.
Laura Barrero, sure. I make a motion to approve action item 5.2.4.
Tim Morton, second.
And Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura, your vote?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. That passed unanimously. 5.3, action items for Odeo Charter School 3. So 5.3.1, approval of the DAS application renewal 2021 to 2023. Tim, would you speak to that, please?
Yes. Odeo Charter School 3 is up again for recertifying that they have a high-risk student enrollment, so they can be qualified as a Dashboard Alternative School Status Program, or DAS school. And this criteria requires a school to have an unduplicated count of at least 70% of the school's total enrollment composed of high-risk student groups. Some of the examples are expelled, suspended, wards of the court, pregnant or parenting, recover, dropout, habitually truant, retained more than once in kindergarten through eighth grade, credit deficient, enrollment gap of significance, high level of transiency, and they could be either foster or homeless youth as well. Currently, on our June 1, 2021 survey, 81.7% of the Odeo 3 students fell within one or more of these categories. You can only be counted in one category though. And so this is just certifying the document that you have that they do meet the criteria for DAS. And then once it's approved by this board, we'll move through the next phase of getting the final certification for another 3-year term for Odeo 3's DAS status. And that will be also reflected on the dashboard, the state dashboard I was referring to in the LCAP presentation. They'll be labeled as DAS in that dashboard as well.
Thank you. So a motion to approve.
Tim Morton, motion approved 5.3.1.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero, your vote?
Laura Barrero, aye.
Thank you. Greg Haggard votes aye. That passes unanimously. We're 5.3.2, consider approval of the second interim report for fiscal year 2020 to 2021. So Lynn, the staff report on that item?
Similar to the Odeo 2, this is the interim reporting from July 1 to January 31st. comparing your actual expenditures versus the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. So entertain a motion to approve that.
Sorry, we're
Tim
on
Morton 5.3. Tim Morton approves 5.3 point, makes a motion to approve 5.3.2.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Very good. So Tim, your vote on 5.3.2?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. 5.3.3, review and discuss the May revised operational budget assumptions fiscal year 2020 to 2021. Consider approval of the May revised operational budget for the same. Lynn?
Yes, thank you. This budget is based upon P280A of 120.86, wherein the full-time equivalent staff is 9.22 FTE. It incorporated also a 7.5 reserves and a one-time special funding for this fiscal year, which is comprised of the ESSER funds, the ESSER II, the Learning Mitigation Fund, the Mental Health Level 1, the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, which total to an amount of $63,263. And thank you, sir.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
Tim Morton.
Laura Barrero.
Go ahead, Laura.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion to approve 5.3.3.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote.
Tim Morton, aye.
And Laura?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passed unanimously. 5.3.4, Lynn, this is again, review and discuss preliminary operational budget assumptions. Would you report out on that for us?
Yes, it's the numbers attached to the Odeo Charter School 3 preliminary budget for 2021-2022 fiscal year. It is based upon a P280A of 120.37. The full-time equivalent staffing that was budgeted is 12.20 with a reserve of 5%. We incorporated the one-time special funding of ESSER Fund Round 2, ESSER Fund Round 3, Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, and that totals to $211,167. Thank you.
Thank you. And a motion to approve?
Laura Barrero, I make a motion that we approve 5.3.4.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura, your vote, please.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.3.5, the EPA resolution expenditure plan, Lynn?
That is the amount of the EPA fund for Odeo 3 is $28,074, and we plan to support the teacher's salary and benefits, which is indicated in the expenditure plan presented to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. A motion to approve?
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.3.5.
Laura Barrero, I second.
And Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura, your vote?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard votes aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.4, action items for Odeo Valley Charter School. Consider approval of the amended charter position. So Lynn, would you tell us about that?
Yes, as I have said before, Odeo Corporation has now a new school, which is the Odeo Valley Charter School, and the Riverside County Office of Education approved the petition, and they have a minimal findings that they want us to incorporate. So we incorporated that in the petition, and we want the board to approve the amendments to the charter petition, which was submitted to you, and it's in red lines, so you can see the various pages that we amended. And if we are asking the board to, we're requesting the board to approve it, please.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
Tim Morton. I'd just like to insert that in meeting with Riverside County Office, they have been so professional and so well, you know, just it's a great relationship that we look forward to having. So excellent communication and collaboration between them, their staff, and our staff. It's a lovely partnership to add. So just wanted to add that.
Mary, thanks for adding that, because there's so much extra energy and effort that goes into creating these new entities as we leap from the sinking lily pad to another one. We're continually forced to do, and it's nice that we have a partner that is so supportive, and I'm glad you have a good relationship there. Thank you for calling that out.
Tim Morton makes makes a motion to approve 5.4.1.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. Tim, I'll take your vote.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye, so that passes unanimously. Thank you. So 5.4.2, consider approval of the MOU between Riverside and Idaho Valley Charter School. So Lynn.
Yes, this is an MOU that the board has to enter into. And like what Mary says, they're very cooperative. And my take with the Riverside County Office of Education, as you have read the MOU, they are so transparent. They give you guidelines for everything. Your student accounting reporting is there, the site visits, the timelines for when you submit, the expectation, the role of them as their authorizer. It's very, very, this authorizer, in my personal point of view, needs to be a model for the state of California. In fact, when they did the site visit, I think last week, they made a comment that we are here to look at that, and if there's some discrepancy, we will let you know. This is not a gotcha visit. That's the exact word I'm quoting them. So it's a model authorizer.
That's so fantastic. Any other comments before I call for a motion to approve? So I'd be looking for that for 5.4.2.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.4.2.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. And Tim Morton, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So now we're down to the preliminary operational budget assumptions for same 5.4.3. Lynn?
Yes, the Odeo Valley preliminary operational budget is based upon a projected ADA of 266, and we incorporated the 5% reserves and the full-time equivalent of about 22 for teacher staffing and special ed support. We also incorporated the health and welfare benefits, which is indicated in your assumptions, the facility leases contractual obligation. And so we request the board to approve the budget.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion that we approve 5.4.3.
Tim
Morton, second.
Thank you. And then Tim, I'll take your vote.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.4.4, EPA, Lynn.
Again, the EPA, we need to, as a new school, we have to have an educational protection plan board resolution to be approved, an expenditure plan, and the amount that is we're projecting for the school is about $53,200, and it will be spent on teacher salaries and benefits.
Thank you. A motion to approve, please.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion that we approve 5.4.4.
Tim Morton, second.
And Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, aye. That passes unanimously. 5.4.5, consider approval of LCAP and the Every Student Succeeds Act Federal Addendum Template. Tim?
So this as a support to Idaho Valley to receive federal funds, and it's now part of the LCAP, an addendum of the plan of what we would implement towards meeting the requirements of the Every Student Succeeds Act and getting those federal funds. So this plan is the initial proposal to be eligible to receive those.
Thank you. Motion to approve that item. Did you have a comment, Mary? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just starting to see a lot of glazed eyes, and my teachers are getting tired out there. We're almost finished.
More coffee. All right.
They're trying to get out with the kids. I realize this is.
No.
But you got to admit, it's interesting, isn't it?
There's nothing more boring than us. Let's get back into the classroom.
It's long, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.4.5.
Laura Barrero, I second the motion.
Thank you. And Tim Morton, may I have your vote, please?
Tim Morton, aye.
And Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So we're getting pretty good at this. 5.5, getting down to the old time schools now, Grossmont Secondary School. So Lynn?
Nothing, sir. It's the same as the other schools.
Okay. Unless there's any further comment on that, I would take a motion to approve.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.5.1.
Laura Barrero, second.
And Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.5.2, we're down to the May revised operational budget assumptions. Lynn?
Yes, thank you. This is based upon a P280A of 340.23. And as you recall, SB 98 was passed. And for this fiscal year, we are to use the actual P280A for 2019-2020, which is 340.23. But we took the time, all of our schools, to calculate what is really the actual P2 had we be given the opportunity to report the actual P280A for the school. As you know, we have some increase in enrollment, and non-classroom days is excluded from enrollment growth. So therefore, the actual P280A for this year is about 343.48, and there is an unfunded ADA, which amounts to 50,262. Then the full-time equivalent staffing for this budget is 30.41. It is incorporated a 5% reserved. And there's a one-time special funding, which is in the form of ESSER II, Learning Loss Mitigation Funding, Level 1, Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant. And that amounts to a total special funding for this fiscal year for Grossmont Secondary School, total amount of $140,913. Thank you.
Thank you. I would entertain a motion to approve 5.5.2.
Tim Morton, make a motion to approve 5.2.2.
It's 5.5.2.
5.5.2.
Is there any, thank you. Is there any discussion that needed to occur?
I want to add some clarity to what Lynn was talking about and remind you that when she's talking about being funded in the previous year, that created what I would call a loss in funding because we were not funded for our growth and across the board, all the schools. And not just our school, of course, but throughout California, non-classroom-based charter schools were not funded for their growth. And that kind of shows a dissonance because, one, we really legally are not supposed to turn away anybody that comes, no matter what their circumstance, no matter what their situation is. We are to accept students. And yet, we were not funded for the students that we accepted during that period. Now, we do identify some one-time funding that occurred for the schools, you know, that came down from the state, but all the schools got that. So it doesn't negate the fact that there was non-funding for the non-classroom-based schools. Of course, that doesn't sit well with non-classroom schools. We believe that parents pay taxes. Every child should be funded equally. I don't want to whine, but it's just not fair, you know. So, but that is proceeding through the courts, as far as I'm advised. There are four charter schools or five that are protesting that on behalf of all the charter schools in California. I don't know that it's going to make any difference. We just want to be sure that it doesn't go forward and get to be a habit with them. So we made it work. The staff made it work, and we were able to service those students. But of course, you know, we couldn't do that indefinitely. So I just want to share this scenario. It's not that non-classroom-based schools in California did anything wrong, other than they grew when district schools were declining in enrollment, and they continue to do that. So that creates a problem in the minds of many of the people responsible for implementing these policies and executing them. So that was our situation for this last year. I do not anticipate that it'll be going forward, but you never know. So I just wanted to remind you about that. And I'm doing that in the form of a commendation as well, because everybody was just super troopers in making it happen for those kids. And that's our mission. That's our vision. Our kids are the ones that need us most, and we are here for them. So that occurred in the last year, and hopefully will not be an issue for us going forward.
Mary, thanks for saying that. I'm glad that you brought that up, and I'll be super careful, but this is what the money, it's the schools didn't get funded, but the students didn't get funded. And I think you can see, we can all see that what happened there for what it was. And it's just another example of not putting the students first. But again, another example, there's at least two in this meeting that of where we've had roadblocks we've overcome and we've excelled while these roadblocks continue to be thrown up in front of us. So good job on that. Hopefully it won't continue. It's just another disappointing example of unfair treatment for certain of the students, those that choose to go to our school, for example. So we're looking for, I'm going to stop there before I go off on a rant. 5.5.2, looking for, I think we have our motion and our second, and I'm calling for the vote. Tim Morton.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrera.
Laura Barrera, aye.
Thank you, Ennis. And Greg Haggard, aye. That passes unanimously. So 5.5.3, the preliminary operational budget assumptions. Lynn?
Thank you. This budget is based upon the P280A of 349.54. We incorporated a reserve of 5%, and the full-time equivalent staffing is 32.30. We also incorporated a one-time funding, which is the ESSER II, the ESSER III, Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, and the total for that one-time funding is 399, almost 400,000. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. Any other comments on that? Entertain a motion to approve 5.5.3.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion that we approve 5.5.3.
Tim Morton, second.
All right, and Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passed unanimously. Lynn, we're on 5.5.4, the EPA.
Yes, and the amount of the EPA funding for this for the school is $69,908, and it will be spent on teacher salaries and benefits.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion to approve 5.5.4.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura?
Laura Barrero, aye.
Greg Haggard is aye. That passed unanimously. For 5.6.1, Lynn, what do you want to tell us about that?
5.6.1, nothing, sir. It's the same as the other schools. Mandated financial reporting required.
Thank you. A motion to approve?
Laura Barrero, I make a motion to approve 5.6.1.
Tim Morton, second.
And Greg, and I'm sorry, Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. 5.6.2, review and discuss the May revised operating budget assumptions.
Okay, thank you. Sweetwater Secondary School's actual P2ABA based on the mandated SB 98 is 310.05 P2ABA, which is frozen for this year. It was based upon 2019-20. But when we calculated the actual P2ABA for Sweetwater, it's 347.01 ABA, which means that there is about 37 ABA that has not been funded or learning or like loss in revenue. And the amount of the unfunded in growth in enrollment is 424,369. The reserves is incorporated in this budget, which amounts to 5%. The full-time equivalent is 26. The special funding of a one-time for CARES Act, which is your ESSER II, the CTE grant, expanded learning opportunity grant, the mental health level one fund, all those one-time funding amounts to a total amount of 474,413.
Thank you. Any other comment? Otherwise, I'd take a motion to approve.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.6.2.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Tim, your vote?
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura, your vote?
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. 5.6.3, the preliminary operational budget assumptions, Lynn?
Thank you. This budget is based upon a total P2ABA estimated and projected for Sweetwater Secondary School of 352.58 P2ABA. We incorporated a 5% reserved. The FTE equivalent is 31. And also there's a one-time special funding this 21-22 fiscal year for ESSER II, ESSER III, the CTE grant, the expanded learning opportunities, and the total amount for all those one-time funding is 427,502.
Thank you. I entertain a motion to approve.
Tim Morton makes a motion to approve 5.6.3.
Laura Barrero, I second.
Thank you. Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
And Laura Barrero, your vote, please.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard votes aye. That passes unanimously. 5.6.4, Lynn, is there anything else you can say about that?
Just the total amount of EPA for the school is 70,516.
Okay, thank you. And I would entertain a motion to approve that item, 5.6.4.
Laura Barrero, I make a motion to approve 5.6.4.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. And Tim, your vote, please.
Tim Morton, aye.
And Laura, your vote, please.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard is aye. That passes unanimously. We're down to board announcements and comments, item 6.0. From time to time.
Before you go on, may I ask you something?
Of course.
Or maybe this goes under board announcements and comments, although I'm not part of the board, but let me just slip it in. So all of this sounds redundant, and it isn't because we're trying to be super scrupulous. It's because there's no commingling of funds. You understand that. So that's why everything has to be all separate. You know, that's just how we have to, what we have to do. With the new relation, the new renewal for, Tim, help me with this. The new renewal for Audeo 3 created a relationship with San Diego County Department.
Audeo 2.
Created a new relationship with San Diego County Office of Education. And they too, they met with staff. And they too are really good. We were very upfront. The staff report I received was very upfront in terms of addressing questions that we anticipated and that we knew they would want clarification on. And my understanding is that they were very grateful for the information that we presented, the clarity. Because I don't have to tell you, if you've come at this with no experience, or certainly they have charter school experience, but non-classroom based, and you know, it's very different. But they received it all so well, so very well. And so we appreciate that relationship as well. But there are two things, and we didn't know this before this board meeting was set up, so we couldn't post it. But there are two things. One is a form that's going to have to be approved, and the other one, I can't recall. What's the other one? There's another business.
It's a board resolution for Odeo Valley for the retirement, so that Odeo Valley will have the retirement participation with CalPERS and CalSTRS. And we're checking also the deferred compensation plan that we have with the FBC. They have not gotten back to me. They seem to think that what we have will apply for the Odeo Valley, but Riverside County Office of Education wants the board resolutions to be approved by the board.
Okay, so I'm mixing up one positive relationship with San Diego County Office of Ed, but the fact that we're gonna have to come back and ask you for a very short meeting for two items is on behalf of the Riverside County Office of Ed. Am I correct? Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Right, not San Diego County, but for the Riverside. But I did want to get in there about San Diego County and how receptive they are to our schools. Am I correct on that, Adeo, too? Is there anything you want to add, Tim, or correct or modify what I'm saying?
No, you're correct. It was a nice meeting, and we're looking forward to a collaborative relationship with San Diego County Office of Education.
Lynn, you want to add anything?
Yes, it was not us, but I volunteered information about how the Odeo Corporation is set up. I provided them the information that it's a standalone corporation, no sole statutory, no subsidiary, no parent corporation. There is no overlapping board members among our school. The only, the same and unique for every school is the president and CEO and the treasurer and the CFO, which they understood.
So we may need a date. Angela will contact you, but we promise that it won't be a marathon meeting at all. It'll be two items.
Mary, I'm looking at it probably about 10 minutes.
It probably needs to be soon. We don't want to roll into July 1st. So it might be over the next few days. And I hope you will indulge us this one last time, this last fiscal year.
Can do.
Happy to do that. Are there any other comments from the board or anybody else?
I just want to commend staff, especially the finance side, of everything that goes into this work and exhausting all those funding sources and grants. I know it takes a lot of work, and so kudos to everybody.
Yes, and I'd like to also say, goodness, you know, going through the package, how well thought out it is, how transparent, you know, during such an incredible event, you know, such as never happened in any of our lifetimes, you've all risen just so remarkably to the challenges. There's been no learning loss, complete transparency in everything you're doing. You increased your enrollment without funding. You opened a new school. You increased your compliance across the board. I mean, you did so much more while receiving less in order to serve students. It's just so commendable. And I really appreciate all of you.
Thank you so much. I'd like to commend to the instructional component, because that's the meat and potatoes of what we live for. And everything else, and we, you know, at different meetings, at different times, we go through a lot of the business aspect and the compliance and the legal aspect, which I know the board is very focused on. And I know that you're very comfortable with the instructional piece, because it's been historically very accountable to you. But that was a real challenge this last year. So I think too, as Tim is speaking about the finance part, I need to say it also about the instructional part, because that was a challenge this year, and they brought it together beautifully. So that's all. The end. No more.
Kudos.
Yeah, well done. Anyone have anything else they want to mention? And we're down to adjournment. Sad times here. All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Tim Morton makes motion to adjourn.
Laura Barrero, I second.
And I'll call for the vote. Tim Morton.
Tim Morton, aye.
Laura Barrero.
Laura Barrero, aye.
And Greg Haggard, it's aye. So with that, everybody, have a great rest of the week. And thank you for all of your
Take care, guys.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.